KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 66 degrees in Atlantic. We look for scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly this afternoon. Some heavy rain possible tonight. We'll have a high around 78 degrees. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In area news, authorities in Page County are asking for your help in locating a stolen car. Page County Sheriff's Office says a white 2000 Buick Regal with Iowa license plate number 483MQI was stolen from a residence on Highway 48 between Shenandoah and Essex sometime between 9:30 last night and 6:30 this morning. If you see a vehicle matching the description I mentioned, you can call the Page County Sheriff's Office at 712-542-5193 or your local law enforcement agency. I'll have more news in just a moment.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Trane dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now, 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
Authorities in Audubon County are investigating the theft of a black Angus cow and calf. The theft took place sometime between June 7th and 12th from an area in the Oakfield Township, Section 9. The animals were valued at $2,000. Anyone with information about the theft or location of the cow and calf is asked to contact the Audubon County Sheriff's Department at 712-563-2631 or Audubon County Crime Stoppers at 563-2234. The DCI and Carter Lake Police are investigating the circumstances surrounding a near drowning. Officials say a caller to 911 just after 8 p.m. Friday reported a child's body was discovered in a pool at 1509 Q Avenue. When law enforcement and medical personnel arrived on the scene, they found a 15-month-old toddler unresponsive. The DCI was contacted to conduct an investigation into the incident. Officials say at this time it appears to be accidental, and the toddler was in critical care at a local hospital yesterday. Three people were injured Saturday afternoon during a rollover accident in Harrison County. The State Patrol says the crash happened at around 12:10 p.m., about 3 miles north of the Mon Damon exit, as one vehicle was passing another. Officials say a non-contact vehicle was passing a 2001 Ford Excursion on the left as both were headed northbound on I-29. The driver of the SUV, 18-year-old Donald Bennett of Arlington, Tennessee, became nervous and moved his vehicle to the right. Once Bennett realized he was too close to the concrete barrier, he moved back over to the left, causing the SUV to swerve. Bennett overcorrected, causing the Excursion to go out of control and enter a spin, and then left the roadway and rolled several times into the east ditch. Bennett remained trapped in the SUV for a time before he was flown by Mercy Aircare to Mercy Hospital in Council Bluffs. Two passengers in that SUV, 16-year-old Amanda Bennett and 56-year-old Mary Bennett, were transported by Mon Damon Rescue to the Ottawa Hospital. All of the occupants of that vehicle were wearing their seat belts. The patrol says Donald Bennett was cited for failure to maintain control. The SUV sustained $15,000 damage. The Fremont County Sheriff's Department reported yesterday two men were arrested last week on domestic abuse-related charges. 33-year-old Jonathan Talmadge Pennock of Shenandoah was arrested last Wednesday for violation of a no-contact order issued May the 23rd on behalf of Jamie Lynn Franklin. And on June 7th, 22-year-old Jesse Dean Seifert of Omaha, Nebraska, was arrested on a charge of serious assault following an incident which was reported that same day by Mary Ellison from Shenandoah. Seifert made his initial appearance in court last Thursday, at which time he was ordered to have no further contact with the alleged victim of the assault. The sheriff's office reports also 58-year-old Terry Ray Gray of Hastings, Nebraska, was arrested June the 3rd for being a felon in possession of a firearm. A hearing on the charge is set to take place this Thursday afternoon in Fremont County District Court. In the meantime, Gray was being held in jail on $5,000 bond. and no injuries were reported following a rollover accident June 2nd in Fremont County. Officials say Jennifer Krause of Percival was driving a 2003 Nissan Xterra north on 200th Avenue by the Plum Creek Levee when a deer entered the road. Krause lost control of the SUV, causing the vehicle to slide off the road and hit a metal gate before rolling onto its top. Well, a public hearing will take place during tonight's meeting of the Atlantic School Board. Superintendent Dr. Mike Amstein said the hearing this evening is with regard to the 2011-2012 calendar year start date.
One of the requirements for doing the early start is having a public hearing, and then the board needs to go in and approve the early start. So that's one of the reasons why it's there. You know, it's somewhat of a moot point for some districts who basically try to take a look at getting the school year started before the Labor Day weekend. Probably in more tourist-rich areas, their preference would be is that school always starts afterward. The state basically has allowed schools to start before that, to go ahead and begin the school year.
The school calendar for 2011-2012 shows the first day of school begins August 16th with a new teacher workshop beginning nearly a week earlier. Amstein says regardless of when the district chooses to start, a public hearing must be held every year as required by the state. In other business, the school board tonight will act on a resolution pertaining to a voted PEPL or physical plant and equipment levy.
The voted PEPL is going to be coming up in the September ballot, and I think your voted PEPL goes for, I want to say board-approved PEPL is 5 years, but voted PEPL is 10, and, you know, it's been almost 10 years since it was last approved. So the board has got to pass a resolution to go ahead and put it on the ballot.
He says also the Atlantic School Board will hold the first reading of a board policy pertaining to electronic devices, or more specifically, the use of cell phones.
What the high school is looking at is trying to take a look at proposing a little bit different use or option for kids to use their cell phones, but it's got to align with district policy, and if it doesn't, then the board has to take a look at what they're willing to do to change district policy. You know, it's not a huge significant change, it's just, I think, a little bit more liberal policy at the high school in the use of cell phones.
And the board is expected to act on a 28E sharing agreement with the Walnut Community School District, which the districts have had in place over the years but must be renewed. Amstein says Walnut wants to continue with the agreement in a joint meeting of the district's boards in May. Discussions centered on the arrangements with both districts have made a verbal commitment to. He says that the sharing will include Atlantic's Transportation Director Dave Eccles and Business Manager Mary Beth Fast. Well, public hearings will be held during the Atlantic City Council meeting Wednesday evening with regard to a proposed development and minimum assessment agreement between the city and Boulders Inn & Suites, and a proposed internal advance and loan to fund a $125,000 incentive grant for the company to be funded through the city's Economic Development Fund. City Administrator Doug Harris will report to the council Wednesday that negotiations have been completed and the Finance Committee has reviewed the package. The committee will recommend the council approve both agreements, which have been signed by Boulders officials after more than a year's delay. Under the agreements, the city would provide Boulders developers with a $125,000 upfront grant and a total of $41,000 in tax rebates for a total incentive package of $166,000, which is $59,000 less than what was initially offered in May of last year. Because the city had incurred additional legal costs associated with the agreement, the total price tag comes to $247,464, which is slightly less than, again, what was offered last May. But the tax increment financing savings to the city will be a little more than $48,000. Harris says Boulders has agreed to a minimum taxable value, which protects the city against a potential state-imposed commercial property assessment rollback until the year 2022. The tax rebates, according to Harris, will be $41,000 spread out over 9 years rather than $100,000 spread out over a period of 4 years. He said the city will also capture the incremental increase in the value on the land, which had increased by over $60,000 due to its conversion from agricultural to commercial zoning. Harris said the changes will enable the city to capture over half the TIF revenues generated from the project, which will enable Atlantic to fund much-needed street improvements. Following the public hearings tomorrow evening, the City Council will act on resolutions approving the agreements and internal advance for the incentives package. Their meeting at City Hall begins at 5:30 p.m. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
In the funeral announcements, 46-year-old Rick Jones of Harlan died Wednesday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. A massive Christian burial service for Rick Jones will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. 63-year-old Susan Davis of Fontenelle died Wednesday at the University of Iowa Hospital in Iowa City. Memorial services for Susan Davis will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. 78-year-old Irene Bloom of Harlan died Sunday at the Dunlap Nursing and Rehab Center. A massive Christian burial service for Irene Bloom will be held Wednesday at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. 85-year-old Lois J. Ness of Audubon died Saturday at the Friendship Home. Funeral services for Lois Ness will be held tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. 76-year-old Merle J. Eberle of Clarinda died Saturday. Celebration of life services for Merle Eberle will be on Thursday at 10:30 at St. John's Lutheran Church in Clarinda. The Eichemeyer Funeral Chapel in Clarinda has arrangements. 92-year-old Esther Frazier of Griswold died Sunday at the home of her daughter in Trainer. Funeral services for Esther Frazier will be held Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. And 75-year-old Donald Rivers of Fontenelle died Sunday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Donald Rivers will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Our news brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.